approval. First of all, thank you for making the time to meet with us this afternoon. I'm Brother Robert Booth from Springfield.
Okay.
This is Blaine Lipham, also from Springfield.
Lipham?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And David Gadetti from Springfield.
Gadetti. G-E-T-L? Springfield.
That's right. We have been asked to come and hear the appeal of the decision that the Northbridge elders made to this fellowship here. And so we've already begun our deliberations before we came into the prayer. And now we would like to hear from you why you are appealing the decision. What is the reason for your decision?
What I did is I prepared some briefs. I have a short version, long version. So I'm going to give you each the short version because we probably don't want to spend time. Well, the longer version is actually kind of, you guys can look at this too. I think you should be aware of it.
This is
I presented here some information that I feel that the whole meeting was not carried out biblically based on the scriptures, and now I want to just present to you this information. First of all, I used a 96 Watchtower as an article to refer to. Even though I dealt with abuse, sexual abuse, I felt that the information here is pertinent to what happened with me in my case. And here's the information here. I tried to review it as much as I could. Now, the article says about a sufferer who makes an accusation against somebody. It says, two elders can advise him in line with the principles of Matthew 18:15. He should personally approach the accused about the matter. As far as I understand, four accusers against me. Now, one of them approached me in harmony with Matthew 18 about the situation. Okay. If the accuser is not emotionally able to do so face-to-face, it can be done by telephone or perhaps by writing a letter. In this way, the accuser is given the opportunity to go on record before Jehovah with his answers to the accusations. He may be able to present evidence that he could not have committed the abuse. Again, we're not talking about abuse. We're talking about my situation, what I said. There were letters written against me. I never saw those letters. The elders never presented those letters to me. How can I even make a case when the evidence is not there? They said they had the letters. In fact, that was the first time I heard of the letters. But I never saw the letters. The second paragraph says, if the accusation is denied, the elder should explain to the accuser that nothing can be done more in a judicial way. The congregation will continue to view that one accused as an innocent person. The Bible says there must be two or three witnesses before judicial action can be taken. All right, so this case here, you have four people accusing me. Only one person showed up at the meeting face-to-face with me. And his information was a year old. I mean, I don't even remember what I said to this brother. And that was a year or so ago. So his case there, to me, is hearsay because we can't, you know, get together on what was said because I don't even know what was said. So to use that against me, I feel that's not right. Moving down here where it's highlighted, Bible principles must be followed in establishing a matter judicially. And here's my points here, laid out simply. First of all, the accuser has never approached to speak with me in harmony with 18:15. I was a B to that, too, or A to that. They never came to me with a witness about the situation either. See, that's the next step that has to be taken. That wasn't done. Obviously, if number one wasn't taken, number two wasn't taken. There's no reason that I am aware of that prevented these accusers of me from meeting me face to face. There wasn't an emotional issue that they were afraid I was going to hurt them or something. They should have came to me. They wrote letters, but I didn't see the letters either. All right, I get into that. I was told, number three, a year or so after the fact, that two accusers wrote letters against me. I never was shown these letters. How could I answer the charges against me at the time? The elders have the letters. They've never brought them out for me to see at the judicial meeting. Today, I haven't even seen them. Okay. Four, how can I be disfellowshipped as an unrepentant sinner when I never knew what the charges against me were until the meeting with the elders? They charged me with loose conduct. I never heard that charge until the meeting with the elders when they disfellowshipped me. How can you be repentant and unrepentant or whatever here when that's the first time I heard the charge? My view of the charge of loose conduct, I feel, is open to interpretation. Nowhere in the Bible and nowhere in the Watchtower writings is the application they're applying to me based on what they said. It's all dealing, loose conduct in the Bible deals with sexual matters or matters dealing with a sexual nature. In my long brief here, again, I made six copies. This is eight pages. Let me finish this here. The last point here, they define loose conduct as an outright and wanton disregard for authority. That's their definition of it. Who is the authority that I'm showing disrespect to? That I don't know. Now, Brother Perkins mentioned briefly that he didn't like the way I spoke against Brother Crispin. Is that the authority that you didn't like the way I spoke about? That's my question. What's the answer? I don't know the answer. Who's the authority I spoke against that you're using this scripture of loose conduct, whatever, I forgot what the scripture was, against me as showing disrespect and disregard for elders or whatever? Who is the person I showed this disrespect to? Now, I have a whole another bunch of information here on my situation with Brother Crispin, because even though that was said, it had no bearing on my case, I believe it does. Here's eight pages. You guys can keep these for your records. And what I did here is, this is a little longer, obviously, but I'll try to go through this as quick as I can. Now I'm getting into more specifics. I'm appealing this for three main reasons. Vital information was not presented to me about my situation with Brother Crispin. There's a situation that again, they feel had no bearing on this case. I think that one of the reasons they said I spoke against authority was that they said I was speaking about Brother Crispin. So that's fine, but no one ever told me that they ever spoke to Brother Crispin. And what information do they have from Brother Crispin about me? Anyway, number two, again, I never met the accusers. Most of the information against me is hearsay. It's all hearsay. It's their word against mine. Three, where am I an unrepentant sinner? And then I get into the whole thing here about being disfellowship for loose conduct, being an outright wanton disregard for authority. Again, not to go over this again, but you know, where does it say it? Who's the authority I'm speaking against? Now I get into some information here. See, Brother Crispin, I feel, slandered me when I moved into this congregation 7 years ago. I was an elder in another congregation. I moved here, and I had a good recommendation that came back from him, from Framingham. Well, I wasn't reappointed. They never told me the reason. They never told me the reason why. I tried the best I could to get the information from brothers. They wouldn't tell me. They always gave excuses why I wasn't appointed, why you were this and you were that and you were this. But I feel Brother Crispin influenced them against me, and no one ever told me what he said. To this day, I don't know what he said. Brother Perkins denies I was talking to Brother Crispin. And then, I'm summing this up now because that's in here. Brother Perkins denied me ever speaking. I mean, him ever speaking to Brother Crispin. But then at the meeting when I was in fellowship, it came out that he said he spoke to Brother Crispin. I don't get it. How can you deny something for years? And then here I am, disfellowship. Then you said, oh, Brother Crispin, I talked to him in passing, or whatever, however he worded it. So I feel that some vital information, I think that's very important. I called up Brother Crispin, this is on the third page, in May 11th, I called up Brother Perkins. And I felt I had a Matthew 18 against Brother Perkins because I felt he didn't tell me the truth. So I asked him. On the next page, you can see what I asked him. I said, basically, here's what he said. I asked Brother Crispin, this is where it says 1 Timothy 5:19, up on top. I said, did you speak to Brother Crispin? And Brother Perkins said, we mentioned it in passing. Now remember, he just denied for years speaking to Brother Crispin. And then he said he talked to him in passing. And then he said, well, whether he did or not doesn't change the situation. Well, I think it does change the situation, because that's information I really should have had. I didn't know anything about it. In his next statement, he said, I don't know anything about it. You're trying to make a case. I'm not going to discuss it with you. You're trying to make a case and you don't have one. That's what he said to me. Well, I think I do have a case. Somebody is not being honest with me, dealing with that case with Brother Crispin, which I think has a bearing on me being this fellowship, because I think they are using that side I spoke against him, or part of it. I have a problem with that. See, I'm familiar with the scripture that says, do not admit an accusation against an older man except only on the evidence of two or three witnesses. I understand that. Well, I believe Brother Crispin wronged me. I asked these elders, I begged them, let's do something about it. Not them specifically, but elders through the last 7 years. What can be done about it? No one ever took up the cause. I can see why, to go against the circuit overseer. I wasn't afraid of him. He did something wrong to me. He wronged me. And then, when I met Brother Crispin at a circuit assembly one day, Brother Crispin said it was the elders here who were the ones that stopped me from being appointed an elder. And I asked some of the elders here, and they said it was Brother Crispin. Nobody admitted it who was responsible. Nobody. All right. Now, that was just that little situation there, because that's not the main reason, you know, I'm just bringing it up in passing, because I just felt that situation there has hurt myself and my wife tremendously. They don't realize how much it's hurt my wife. My wife puts on a good show. She knows what happened. She sees what happened. I had one brother, Brother Hagenbach, which I mentioned in here. Brother Hagenbach was working with me one day in service. And he admitted to me, now remember, after all these years, 3 years now, them putting me off being appointed an elder with all these crazy excuses, Brother Hagenbach said to me, Brother Crispin had it out for you. The problem. He's the only one that ever admitted it. But again, it doesn't make any difference. He wasn't there to hear it. He heard it only through hearsay, you know, through the elders or through somebody. I don't know. Well, you'd have to ask him. So that was my situation there with Brother Crispin. And again, the hurt and the pain that has caused to me and my wife, it's a stumbling block to my wife, like nobody's business today. My wife is this close to having a nervous breakdown. I hope you brothers understand that. Because nobody talks to us. Nobody tells us what's going on. You move in a congregation, nobody tells you why you're not being this or this. And no, you know, I just have a horrible problem with that. My wife sees it. She still goes to meetings the best she can. But if she ends up in a psych ward, who's responsible? Me? Here I am, I'm just trying to defend myself. I have accusations against me, levied against me. No witnesses. Nothing. People, I feel aligned. I'm very hurt by it all. But that's that situation there. with Brother Crispin. Getting back to this case, where I don't have these numbered, I'm sorry, but where I have it on this one here that shows my the 10 reasons why they disfellowshipped me, I wrote these down. They said I was disfellowshipped for one. Now, one of the prophecies that the society said has ever come true, I asked them, who said this? They didn't tell me. Two, I questioned the channel that Jehovah used from the first century of the time of Brother Russell. I have never questioned that in my life. Who said it? That's not true. They never told me who said these things. No. Every single one of these, I never was told who said these things to me.
Yeah. All of these things that are here, well, not all of them, but you never said that not one of the societies, not one of the prophecies that the society has made of everything.
That's not the issue. My issue is this. If somebody makes an accusation against you, he has to say it face to face from me. So my question is, who's the person that said it? They never faced me on it. I don't have to answer it. I have no comment on that. Because, again, I never face my accusers. See, I am not going to say anything unless the people are there in front of me. If they're going to make an accusation to me, I'm going to comment to them. But they have not come before me. So I really... Brother Perkins didn't tell me what was going on with Brother Crispin. He had a right to tell me what was going on with Brother Crispin.
So you feel justified
in that? No. I just feel that I'm not going to implicate myself in anything. I think that's why they had such a hard time with my case. I never implicated myself in anything. My personal feelings are my own personal feelings. I don't remember saying it. Who did I say it to?
Well, we're asking you.
I don't know. And I deny the charge because I don't know who I said it to.
You deny your
perception? Absolutely. Absolutely. Second, I question the channel that Jehovah used. How can you question that channel? Nobody knows who was there. But I never said that. I mean, I came from. Never was there.
Let me ask you this question, because the way this is strange is about questioning the channel that Jehovah used from the first century to the time of Brother Russell. You said he never said that.
Never said that.
Are you questioning the channel that Jehovah is using today?
I have my own personal feelings on that.
I'm asking the question, are you questioning the channel that Jehovah is using today?
No. I don't question it.
What channel is he using today?
Well, let me put the question back to you. I feel... Oh, I'm going to answer you. I will answer you. I feel as long as the channel is presenting the information in harmony with Scripture, I have no problem with it. That's the question. Now,
So what channel is presenting information in harmony with the Scriptures?
That's the channel.
What channel is that?
That Jehovah is using.
And what is that?
Well, it's based on Scripture. See?
Okay, so what channel is Jehovah using?
The organization. And I have no problem with him using the organization. But here's a question I have for you. What happens if the organization now presents something that goes against Scripture? Then what happens? Then what do we do? I mean, what happens if I showed you something that the wise teller said one thing, and then the Bible said completely the opposite, what do you do then?
Okay. Let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
You accept the Bible as God's word?
Absolutely.
Do you recall the account then of the Israelites wandering for 40 years in the wilderness?
Mm-hmm.
And among those who wandered 40 years in the wilderness with the Israelites were Joshua and Caleb. You recall that?
Yeah.
There were two of 12 spies that had been sent to spy out the land of Canaan.
Mm-hmm.
And they were the only two that came back and said that we should do what Jehovah's telling us to do right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
The rest of them said, no, we don't want to do that. that was Jehovah's organization as a nation, the Israelites were with them. Mm-hmm. Joshua and Caleb said, well, wait up for you people. We're going to go in because that's what Jehovah's telling us to do. And forget about the rest of these people. They spent 40 years in the wilderness with those who didn't want to go in.
Mm-hmm.
They even forgot that, didn't they?
Yeah.
You see my point?
No.
You don't.
Well, I mean, I don't understand.
You say no. I'm trying to ask you that because you said that if the channel is presenting, if the organization is presenting something to us that is not in harmony with the scriptures, what are we to do?
Well, my question is:
did the nation of Israel act in harmony with the direction Jehovah gave them at that time?
No.
As a nation?
No.
Okay. Did Joshua and Caleb leave?
No. I understand. Now I get it now. Yeah. But anyway, this point here, again, I just, you know, I feel.
No, I'm asking you the question, Jim. Do you believe that
as long as the watchtower is doing things based on the Bible, I have no problem with it. That's all I can tell you. Because I've seen elders do things that went against the Bible says. In decisions made. Appoint people as servants and elders or whatever when they knew they were sexually immoral. I get evidence, I get facts, I get everything. I can show you. I told you brothers that. I have more information here that you can't imagine.
Why didn't we bring that to light?
I did, brothers. I sure did.
You brought it to light to us. I don't know what others.
Oh, I've been mentioning. Well, let me put.
But let me just finish.
Yeah.
Is that I promised him that I would mention it to the responsible people, and I did do that.
Let me tell you something here. Well, I just want to make a comment on that.
No, I want to back up. When you say that occurred, do you mean within congregations?
Absolutely. Let me tell you something right now. How serious this becomes. I know a situation right now that can end up with elders in jail, including you brother and you brother, because of the information. I know a brother who was... No, but let me tell you... No, I'm just saying in regards to information, because I gave the information to Perry. Perry just mentioned it to the brothers in passing. Do you know it's a federal offense to sexually abuse your children? You can end up in jail. The elders in the Framingham congregation covered this up. I have evidence. I have the information. They covered it up. This same brother, the brother that did this, was a brother who was appointed a ministerial servant now. That this brother sexually made a pass at my brother's wife. 2 weeks later, or there shortly after, was appointed a ministerial servant. The elders knew about the pass. You know, they know about it.
Matters are obviously serious matters. Maybe we should just get that.
Well, no, but I'm making a point. You asked me a question, and this brother here, I come to find out from his son, something was going on with the girls. And this brother was in that congregation, everything was hunky dory, and then when it all came up just within the last year or two, something that this brother could go to jail on. Nobody knows about it.
Well, let me understand. Are you saying that is a reason for you to have doubts?
I have a problem with abuse. I have a problem with people that come out that they are doing what's right when behind the backs are doing things so wicked, even to make Christendom shame.
So what do you propose you should do?
What I did was... I did what I felt had to be done because I felt that there was a lot of corruption and a lot of things going against Scripture. I just kind of backed off from it all. I resigned as a servant because I wasn't appointed an elder. I resigned as a pioneer. I stepped back because I said, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I want to be kind of like left alone.
So you didn't try to bring any of those letters to life yourself?
Sure I did. What do you think happens? You bring these things that people don't want to hear. Like I told you about Brother Crispin. Every elder that moved into this congregation knew about my situation with Brother Crispin. Not one of them said, Jim, I think we should get together with Brother Crispin. Not one of them. Now, think about it. I'm not serious.
How does this relate, though, to your view of the organization?
Because, see, it's because, again, getting back, I feel like this organization is great as long as the, again, the organization obviously doesn't encourage those things, so I'm not saying they do. But it bothers me to see abuse of power, that's all. I have a problem with abuse of power. I've seen it all my life. In this. I've been in this organization for 23 years.
Brother, you've read the Bible, haven't you?
Yeah.
And have you noticed through their example of individuals who...
Absolutely.
...who did things that were improper, and yet they were in God's organization?
That's true. But see, I chose, because I didn't want to cause a stink about it. I didn't want to cause a furor about it. I chose to back off. That's why I backed off. See, these guys, I hope, understand that. See, I just kind of said, I can't take this anymore. I'll end up in that house. I mean, I'll be there with my wife pretty soon. But anyway, I backed off. And then, like, Perry, now think about this. Perry's got a good heart, and I can't say, you know, he's been a good guy. He goes to the elders in Framingham and says, hey, you know, there's been reports of a situation. Now remember, these reports are known in the world now. It's not like it's just me. I have people coming to me about them. It's known what's happened. It's known. See, that's what bothers me. See, this isn't just a matter you can just sweep under the rug with the elders anymore. It's known. See, now Perry calls up the elder. And he just relayed the message and said, you know, this is some information I thought you'd know. Well, that's like going to somebody who's murdered somebody and saying, you know, there's someone that's been murdered. We just want to let you know. When that person did the murder.
Can I correct this?
Yeah.
I want you to understand.
Yeah.
I also mentioned this to the CEO. It's not said in passing. I specifically called and talked to people. I call the brothers and the congregation that are involved. I also talked to the CEO about it.
Can you talk to Ed Leonard?
I talked to the brothers.
Ed Leonard.
The connection of what this has to do with our being here.
Well, I think that the connection is this. Why am I where I am? Because I stepped back here and I just didn't want to be bothered anymore with all this baloney. I can't take it anymore. Okay, that's why I'm where I... Isn't that most important, you brothers? You want to correct me? You want to correct my thinking? It's good to know my thinking? I'm where I am now, which is more important than what I said, is where I am now. I'm where I am now because that's the only way I could deal with it and handle it. I had to just step back from the whole picture.
Where are you at now?
Here I am. I mean, you might be nowhere, but here I am. I'm just trying to get on with my life. You know, and I have people bringing accusations against me, people accusing me of things, saying this and saying that, slandering me, defaming my good name.
But getting back to this here, you're just categorically denying that you said anything.
Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Because, yes. First of all, when were these questions? Who said them? I don't know who said them. When were they said? I don't know when they said. Could have these questions been a misunderstanding? You know, I even bring that out somewhere here.
Let me ask you this question.
Yeah. Yes, I said that. Absolutely. But
wait,
hold on. Let me clarify it. I said, no. See, I think number 7, 8, 9, and 10 I said to these elders. The reason I said them, now I wasn't saying all of them were. Have you ever met an elder who you thought was a bozo? Hey, I met plenty of them. See, I said, elders are bozos. Some elders, let me clarify it. That should be in there. Some elders are bozos. The brothers are cowards. Some brothers are cowards. Not all of them. I've met some pretty good elders that will stand up for a case. The brothers are a bunch of hypocrites for liars. Well, if they don't answer my questions, and if they don't say to me, Jim, this is the truth, what is my conclusion of them? If Brother Perkins doesn't give me the information that I deserve, about Brother Crispin, I only can say, well, gee, someone's, I mean, we don't like to use the term lying, but, I mean, is someone lying to me? I didn't make this statement, all of them were. I'm just saying, it appears to be that there's some problems in these areas. Right? Because, again, I don't feel all brothers are bozos. Like I said, I know plenty of good brothers. I know some brothers that will stand up to things. I get no problem. What did I mean by the elders? I like Dave, who put Uriah on the front line to be killed. I guess I said that, huh? I don't know. Did I say that?
How about number six?
Oh, the society lie. They try to make friends look like he was an apostle. I don't know. Where did I say that? Who did I say that to?
Well,
that's interesting. Because with the information that I have, okay, that's been presented to me from various people, okay, you know, people in this organization too, they said, no, Ray Franz was not disfellowship for apostasy. And you can check your records on that. Ray Franz was not. Ray Franz, and again, I'm not saying I agree with him or disagree with him, I'm just saying, Ray Franz left Bethel. He was given $10,000 to leave. He wanted to leave, so it was kind of like, okay, good, here you go. They gave him $10,000 to leave. He went to Georgia. For 2 years, he was in the congregation in Georgia. He wasn't just fellowship. He was a regular person in the congregation. That's my only point there. So I said, and again, I'm not saying that society, I mean, this is my viewpoint, maybe I'm wrong. I'm not saying the society is saying anything against him. I don't think they are commenting on him. But if someone makes a comment and say Ray Friend was an apostate at Bethel, that's not true. He resigned more or less. He was asked to leave, kind of. He went to Georgia. 2 years later, they disfellowshipped him for eating a meal with his boss, who was disassociated. 2 years later. So that statement is slanderous. I just want to let you brothers know, when someone makes a statement about Ray Franz, he left Bethel, I'm not saying he left with honors, but he left because he wanted to leave, they asked him to leave, they gave him $10,000 to leave Bethel. He went to George, and you can call the Watchtower up and ask him about that, they'll tell you, you can find out when he left Bethel, and you can find out when he was disfellowshipped. He didn't get disfellowshipped at Bethel, that's my point. Okay, I'm that's all I'm saying.
Have you been in contact with
Rick? No. How do I get in contact with Rick?
Writing?
No. Why would I get in touch with him? I mean, I don't hate the guy. I don't know much about him. I mean, what are you going to do? You know, but anyway, that's the situation with Ray Friends. That's all I meant by that. The information that's been presented to me and that I've come across. So, I'm, you know, if the Watchtower wants to say he was kicked out for apostasy, that's up to them. But anyway, that's why I don't agree with what's that? And, you know, what's going on there? My big point is the loose conduct thing. I'm just really blown away by that. I mean, loose conduct. I mean, give me a break. I mean, you know, to imply that it has, again, a sexual nature to it. And then here I am being disfellowshipped for it, and I never even heard the term. I quoted a couple articles from the Watchtower, you know, just to show you in passing that all the articles have to do with a sexual nature. Well, that's all the ones I've seen. I mean, I didn't look at them all. But show me otherwise. I don't know. I mean, I'm here. I'd like to see what you got to say.
Comes from 1973.
Let me write it down. Where am I here?
I was saying you weren't able to find articles.
I couldn't. Yeah, everything I was looking.
Did you realize then that the word itself, however, can indicate praise and disregard for laws other than sexual?
Okay. Laws? Well, that was my question. Though, remember, who was the law I was speaking against?
Okay.
I love to hear what you. I mean, because again, I didn't spend all night looking all this information up. I said, gee, look. I did spend about an hour or two looking. I don't see. What do you got for me?
It's September 15, 1973.
All right, hold on. September 9, 15, 73.
Page 575 and 574 and 576.
Okay. And
that's a question from me.
Okay.
And the question is, what does the expression loose conduct as found at Galatians 5:19 mean? And of course, this is a 2.5-page explanation.
Mm-hmm.
Much of it gets into sexual matters. But note the first paragraph, as it shows
that doesn't justify that.
That's right.
It says, one might assume that this term from the Greek word aselgia refers to conduct that is immoral, but in a minor or not so serious way. This, however, is not the case, according to the available evidence in Scripture and also in the ancient secular Greek writings in which this word appears. It is not limited to acts of sexual immorality. And rather than relating to bad conduct of a somewhat petty or minor nature, it apparently describes acts that reflect a brazen attitude, one that betrays disrespect, disregard, or even contempt for standards, laws, and authority. The looseness of the conduct, therefore, is not due principally to weakness, but results from an attitude of disrespect, insolence, or shamelessness.
All right. So again, and I that's a good article, but my question is, where did I show the disrespect and shamefulness? Where? I wasn't at that total where. No one said, only thing I got from Brother Crispin, Brother Perkins, was when he said, I believe you said this, Larry, you said, I didn't like the way you spoke about Brother Crispin. That's what he said. Didn't he say that? I thought that's what he said. And I'm saying to myself, how would you know how I spoke about Brother Crispin? Or know the whole situation of Brother Crispin when you never talked to him? See, I made an allegation against Brother Crispin. I called him a liar. Because for all intents and purposes, that's what it seemed to happen. He didn't tell the truth about me. And I asked for the information, and to this day, the elders, the brothers, all claim they don't know anything about it. So, is it Brother Crispin that I said? I never, ever said that about the Watchtower. I never, ever said that about any of you elders. I don't think I did. Did I show blatant disrespect? Hey, I'm an emotional guy. Don't get mixed that up with my emotions.
Ask you this question.
Yeah.
Did the brothers, in their efforts, to communicate with you and talk with you and help you, ever say to you at any time, I can see that you're dealing with you, that they received you emotionally?
Yeah.
We all sin with the time, any time. The Bible says that there's no one that doesn't. If he doesn't, he's a perfect man. They and I am a perfect man. But in their discussions with you, did they at any time ever say, well, now, Jim, you might feel this way, it would be good if you try to get control of your feelings and not let them run away with you and speak things in the hearing of others who could have their faith undermined by what they hear you saying, because that is what the tongue can do.
Right.
The Bible says it's a little nimble, it makes rags, it can set a whole woodland on fire,
yeah.
It can be destructive
right.
to a group of people, and especially to people who may be having difficulty in their lives. Everyone today struggles in their efforts to maintain their faith and integrity to Jehovah God, and to follow the direction that his organization has given us. Everyone is fighting to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so for people who are already perhaps in trouble spiritually, and then to hear you say things that could just be devastating to them, or could make it harder for them, you don't have to talk to you like that.
Sure.
They did. Okay.
Yeah, I know. Well, these brothers have been very good to me. I'm going to be honest with you. These guys have been really good.
Fine. I'm glad to hear you say that. Now, what did you do with the time that they did?
First of all, I don't go looking for trouble.
Okay.
Trouble comes looking for me. Okay, that's what happens. All right. I don't go seeking people out, to talk to them. I'm not saying that there weren't times that I was really down and out on things and I've said things I shouldn't have said, because I have. I admit that. I'm sorry for that. In fact, I don't know if they mentioned to you, but this last escapade I had with this Ruth Jones thing, I called her up twice and apologized. I said, I'm really sorry that this went this far and blah, 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 blah. I don't know what to say, Again, now let's reverse it. What about the elders that have done things against me? And, you know, are they looking at it from that way? Are they saying, gee, you know, here's a brother here that's really trying real hard, and look what we're doing to this guy? Have they looked at my wife and said, gee, you know, she's looking on at this too, and we're just stepping on her too? I mean, it goes both ways. I admit that I have my problems, but it's funny how...
What things do you feel? Now, you said you have no problem with the elders here.
Well, I feel the elders here have been trying to help me. I feel they're kind of like in a pickle, you know, with the situation. Well, because there's so many things at stake here. See, it's like we've got so many things that have happened. And you know, I don't like to use the word corruption, but I use corruption only because of people in authority abusing their power. And I've seen it. I've seen it so bad, and it saddens me to see it. So that's why these guys have been good. I'm not saying that, you know, they've been good. They weren't like the brothers in Framingham. Oh boy. Well, that's because my brother was there. So, and I they're dealing with him. Yeah.
When you first came here to Northridge, when was that, in 1989?
Yeah.
And you said every time that you came from Northridge, you were in, I mean, not Northridge, from Framingham. You were an elder in Framingham.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And you had no problems with the brothers there at the time?
No. In fact, I got a great recommendation coming here.
You worked with the body of elders there?
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Okay.
I had no problem.
Well,
I mean, I don't want to pull up all the past here, but there's some serious problems with some people there not telling the truth. I mean... You know, my brother was disfellowshipped there. And there was a good question. That's a good question. Because to this day, he don't even know. And not only that, as far as he understands, he was disfellowshipped for lying. See, that was an interesting situation what happened there. See, my brother Joe, we're twins. He's a little more emotional than me, if you can believe that. But he took him to task. He took these brothers to task on what was going on, corruption and lying and everything. And they just... And they just turn it all around in him. You know, it's interesting, his last meeting with the elders, he accused the body of elders of... They accused him of lying. Now, picture this. They accused my brother of lying. Brother Solaire apologized in front of all the elders because he knew he was wrong. He goes, I'm sorry, Joe, blah, 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 blah. You know, I shouldn't have said that, blah, 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 blah. The next week, he was disfellowshipped for lying. Now picture that. Brother Solaire just apologized to my brother Joe because he, you know, said, okay, we don't even lie. He gets this fellowship for lying. No, but my brother told me.
Well, don't you think that's kind of biased?
No, it's not biased. No, my brother Joe, let me tell you something about my brother Joe. He might be a lot of things. He's not a liar.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Unless you sit in those meetings, you don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, I was in quite a few of those meetings. You want to hear what happened in one of those meetings?
No.
Well, no, I mean, you just asked me. I was in the major meeting that we accused, my brother and I, two eyewitnesses against Brother Conley for lying. Two of us, one of him. You know what the elders did? We don't buy it. And I was an elder at the time.
You know, let's get back to this thing about the pickle. You think these brothers?
Well, they're not.
Pickle.
Well, the pickle. I think it's because this isn't a simple case.
Why?
It's not a simple case.
Why isn't it a simple case?
Because what it appears is I'm being disfellowshipped for exposing something, even though it's not. But that's what it's going to appear to be. That's what it's going to appear to be.
What are you exposing?
What's going on? The wrongdoing over there, the cover up of sexual immorality, the cover up of the sexual abuse of children. I mean, you know, this is heavy stuff. This is heavy stuff. Now, I feel here I am presenting this to them. The next week I'm disfellowship. Now, again, they will say have no bearing on it, and I can understand that. But that's not how it looks. That's not how it looks.
How does that look to other people that way, unless you tell them that?
Well, well, that's the point. See, I'm being slandered and defamed right now. Okay, people are saying I'm this, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. I have accusers against me. I have no people's eyewitnesses against me, and I'm being slandered. I don't know what to do. How do I, if I'm disfellowshipped, what about my good name? What about my reputation? What happens with it?
You have every opportunity to rebuild that once you become totally reinstated.
You think so? It doesn't work that easy, believe me. It doesn't work that easy.
So, I don't understand, what pickle do you think they're in here?
Well, I don't think there's been pressure put on them. I think that they've been put under pressure. I think there's been a lot of correspondence with Brooklyn on them. I know.
What?
Huh?
Pressure to do what?
This fellowship.
For what?
Good question. I don't know what for. Who's kind of? I don't know.
So you say that you're feeling then, and just understand, I'm getting you thinking. You feel that this charge of loose conduct is absolutely false.
Yes. Because
you don't feel that you have displayed disrespect, disregard for authority, and have done so in a blatant manner.
No, because I just asked you the question, who's the authority? I still haven't got the answer. I'm still waiting. Who's the authority I showed the disrespect and wanton disregard for? You still haven't told me.
So that's the basis of your claim.
Absolutely, because I don't know who it's against. I don't know who it's against. You can't just accuse me of doing that when you don't tell me who I did it against.
Can I make a recommendation to you? I'd like to ask the committee here some questions about their first committee meeting, but could we do it in private?
Certainly.
Oh, you want me to leave?
Just for a few minutes.
I'll get a drink of water. Oh, yeah, I think you can drink of water. Okay. See, that was the first I heard of that. I'd never heard that before, but I was concerned because why am I hearing this now and I'm already disfellowshipped? You never told me.
I understand.
And that bothered me. And I guess I can make nothing.
Thank you.
Okay.
Number one, you said that vital information was not presented to you about the situation with Brother Chrisman. That was a non-factor in this decision. You did not enter into the decision.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you never met your accusers. Most of the information was hearsay. You did have the opportunity to have Brother... How do you think?
Mancaboni?
Yeah, Mancaboni here. Okay. With the brothers to talk with you. The fact that you called Ruth Jones and apologize for having upset her because of the things that you said. Right? And then the people who had written statements or put statements in letters, they informed you about that as to who they were, so you had opportunities to talk to them.
Well, I didn't know who, I didn't know what was in the letters.
Mm-hmm. Right. But you had even who wrote the letters. Okay? So, and then you said, where am I shown to be an unrepentant sinner? Well, if you're not even acknowledging the sin, and you had even stated that the brother was trying to be helpful to you here, how could there be any evidence of repentance if you weren't working with them? You see, Jim, even though you might not agree all the time with what is done in the congregation, you do read the Bible, as you yourself have said, and I think Brother Gregory had mentioned one of the scriptures in Hebrews chapter 13 verse 17, which tells us to be obedient to those who are taking the lead among us, and to be submissive, because they are keeping watch over your service as those who will render an account. Much like children in a family, they may not always agree with what the parents are doing. Nevertheless, they have a responsibility to respect the headship of their parents, just as we respect the headship and authority of Jehovah, of his Christ, and also of the faithful slave that he was appointed here on the earth, the principle of headship. And when you asked, when the brothers had read to you the reason for the disfellowship in loose conduct, not of a sexual nature, but rather the disregard for, the disrespect for authority, duly constituted authority. And Jehovah has indeed given authority to brothers in the congregation, to the faithful slave. Now, for our part,
we want to not only acknowledge it, but work and cooperate with it, not work to undermine the confidence of others. And if we disagree with things, well, there's a time and a way that we can be straightened out if we want to be straightened out. But those are things that the brothers are not seeing in you at the present time. Hopefully in time, you will change and be able to acknowledge the things that you have done that really have been the reason for your being here and for them making the decision that they made. And we as the appeal committee see no reason to disagree with what they say or what they decide. That's all that we have to say to you at this time. They've told you, I'm sure, what you could do your work to your own statement.
I mean, I don't agree with you. I think this decision is going to cause some big problems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all that we have to say.
Yeah, now. I understand.
Right. Yeah. So we thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
And we'll be
just okay. Okay, that's it. Gonzo.